In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Are we to pay taxes to the authorities? Are we to pay taxes to the authorities? There Jesus stood in the temple with the Pharisees on one side and the Herodians on the other, faced with this question. The Pharisees, who pledged loyalty to God alone and hated the Roman occupying authorities, hated their demand for taxes. And the Herodians, who were under Herod, supported him and his authority that came from Rome. It was a trap. Whatever Jesus answered, he'd be a dead man. Either the Pharisees would get him for one answer, or the Herodians would get him for the other. Let's rewind a few days. Jesus has just stormed into Jerusalem, something that he had been planning for literally months. He had stormed into Jerusalem on a donkey, with his train of followers shouting his praises, and he had gone right into the heart of the belly of the beast in Jerusalem, the authorities that have been trying to kill him for literally the entire story. And Jesus has just ridden into Jerusalem, and he goes the very next day into the temple which was the center of all the economic power, all of the political power, all of the religious power in their world. And there in the temple, Jesus had started to throw things around. Tables thrown and turned around at every turn. The money changers' tables scattered. Those who were selling doves and pigeons for sacrifices to the poor, their tables thrown. And then we're told that Jesus had stopped everyone and anything from moving through the temple. He brought its economy, its life, to a screeching halt. Men who had already been furious with Jesus were pushed to the brink. But they didn't know what to do because the crowds were fascinated by this man who would have such boldness. And so the authorities come to Jesus and question him. What is your right? What authority do you have to do such a thing, to walk into the house of God and start throwing tables around and to stop the sacrificial system and the economy from moving? What right? Who are you? What authority do you have? But these men would not answer Jesus' inquiries of them, and so he refused to answer them in a straight manner. So he told them a story. He said, there was a great owner of a vineyard, an orchard, and he went away for a long time, and he left some caretakers in charge of his orchard. After a while, this owner started to ask the caretakers for the fruit of his orchard, but these caretakers weren't interested in giving the fruit of his orchard to him. And so he continued to send these servants, these messengers, to the caretakers, begging them, pleading them, look, this is the owner's orchard. It's not yours. Give him the fruit of his orchard. They weren't interested. They'd send these men back, beating them, some killing them, but they refused to listen to the pleas that the orchard was the owner's. Finally, the owner, in his compassion, thinks, if I send my very own son, they'll get the message. I just want the fruit of the orchard that is mine. So he sends his son, but the caretakers think, oh, this is it. This is our chance. If we kill the heir, the man that the inheritance of the orchard is supposed to go to, the orchard can be ours, officially. We've been trying to keep the orchard for ourselves, but now we can kill the heir. It'll be ours for all time. And so they kill the son. So the orchard that's not theirs can be theirs. hearing this story, the authorities immediately get that Jesus is not just telling an idle tale. He's targeting them. Targeting them very specifically with these words. And that's why they set this trap. This trap that Jesus finds himself in. Are we to pay taxes to the Roman authorities? Pharisees on one side, ready to kill him if he says yes. Herodians on the other, ready to kill him if he says no. And so Jesus answers them. Give to the Roman emperor what belongs to the Roman emperor. Give to God what belongs to God. An answer. Kind of. The trap failed. Jesus simply told them to give according to their loyalties. If you believe something belongs to the Roman emperor, then give it to him. If you think something belongs to God, then you should give it to him. Immediately following this, a group of Sadducees, some priestly men, come up to Jesus and start questioning him as well. So this resurrection Jesus that you believe in, what's this all about? It doesn't make any sense. So we've got this scenario of a woman. She's had 7 different husbands in her life. Who does she belong to in this age of the resurrection? Which of these 7 husbands owns this woman? You don't get it, Jesus says. You don't understand God's power or the age of resurrection. This woman belongs to no man. She belongs to God. And then following this, a scribe comes up, as he did in our text for today, and challenges Jesus, saying, what is the one great command above all? Jesus responds, listen, Israel. The Lord, your God, is the only Lord, period. Love him with literally everything that you are and everything that you have. And because of that, love your neighbors as much as you love yourself. This is the great single command. The scribe believes that Jesus has answered very well, and Jesus tells him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. The kingdom that they had to become children to enter. The kingdom that the rich man refused to enter because he wanted his stuff. What belongs to God? This is the question that's running through all of these different stories, connecting them at every turn. What belongs to God? The parable that Jesus had told of the vineyard, it was clear. The whole orchard, the whole vineyard belonged to God. And these caretakers, these men that he had asked to take care of his world, were wanting to steal his orchard, his world, for themselves. These men who thought that women belonged to them as some sort of property in marriage, Jesus challenges them and says, no, no woman belongs to a man, she belongs to God. And the great command, what is the great command according to Jesus? That the Lord your God is the only Lord. And guess what belongs to him? Everything. Your entire heart, your entire life, your strength, all of your doings, your very life, all of everything that you own belongs to God. Are we to pay taxes to the Roman authorities? Give to the Roman emperor what belongs to him. Give to God what belongs to God. Can you see it now? If you give to God what belongs to him, everything. Interesting. These answers from Jesus, this whole scenario of episodes, infuriate the authorities even more, if that's possible. And they're hell-bent on killing him. And we'll see in the coming chapters that they will nail him on a cross for this very reason. He challenged their notions of what belonged to whom. He challenged the fact that the world that they thought they were controlling, owning, dealing with, actually didn't belong to them. It was God's orchard, and it had been God's orchard all along. He challenged the single greatest thing that you can challenge in that world and in our world today, the question of ownership. Who does it belong to? If you start asking those questions, you will find yourself in trouble quickly. Especially when you say, nothing belongs to any of us. It all belongs to God. Do we give to God what belongs to him? As we wrestle with the great commandment in these series of stories, we have to ask ourselves that question: are we giving to God what belongs to him? Or are we just like these authorities, ready to nail Jesus to the cross because he challenges the fact that their world, their temple, their properties, their land, their wealth, their wives, whatever, don't belong to them at all? These men couldn't stand the fact that Jesus was telling them that nothing in their world belonged to them. Not a bit. And so they killed Jesus for this. Are we any different? Are we trying to hold on to God's orchard, refusing to give him the fruit of his world into his hands? Everything belongs to God. It's the most basic starting point for Jesus' understanding of our world. And this, we learn from him, is a good thing. We've all seen our world and how it operates and functions when it's divided up into different ownership amongst us, amongst people. People fight over which boundary, which border belongs to who, which family member, which property, which money, which wealth. What belongs to who? These questions people kill over constantly. That's mine. That's yours. That's ours. That's theirs. These are the lines that we draw that divide us and cause us to kill, to hate, to destroy each other. Just look at the world around us. You see it everywhere. People trying to grab something as mine. I'm just protecting what's mine, what's ours, and I'm going to kill you to do it. We draw these lines of ownership, borders, and boundaries, and we hate each other, and we fight with each other, and we kill each other over it. And Jesus says, stop the madness. It doesn't belong to any of y'all in the first place. It's God. And that's the greatest news there is. It's his. It's not ours. Be God's child. And you can share in the full abundance, the full bounty of everything. Because it belongs to your Father, therefore as his child, it's yours to use, to share, to love. Love the Lord your God with everything. Everything. Don't hold a single piece back. If you do, it will hurt you. It will hurt those around you. You'll find yourself in the midst of destructive battles. Let it go. Give it to God. He can sort it out better than any of us. In fact, it's his anyways, and he's a father who knows what to do with his world. Let us trust him with what's his. He will care for us. He will protect us. He will guide us. He loves us. He wants us to be his children. Amen.